Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we love you. We praise you. We know that you're working all things together for our good, Lord. Even persecution. So, Lord, give us wisdom today to expect these things and to be prepared that we're not guilty of anything. That's the best thing. Amen. So I'm going to talk about Christian persecution coming. All right. So thank you, Father, for blessing us with this. I think I'll begin with some revelations that we have on our site. We are closer now to all of these words and warnings of persecution than we were when we first received these. So this first one is from 2009, and it's an article from the American Holocaust and Coming New World Order blog. I remind you that the Great Revival begun by Jesus and the man-child reformers is followed by a pendulum swing in Revelation 13, the forced mark of the beast, etc. And of course, this is to outlaw Christians who will be hated of all nations, as Jesus said. And also the right-wing roundup and prosecution and death sentences of leftist criminals at this time, I believe, will be reciprocated in the future. The pendulum swings back. So this first revelation, we're going to call it Coming Persecution and Christian Beheading. And, of course, prophesied martyrdoms are coming. And this was by Pamela Shuffert, who's done quite a bit of research in this regard. And she's presenting investigative journalism with a Christian perspective. So many Christians in America have become dangerously lukewarm and comfortable with where America is. Centuries of religious freedom and lack of persecution on a major scale have lulled many into a false state of safety and comfort and denial. So in this hour, too. And so in the minds of most Christians, in fact, no persecution could ever come to the Christians in America. And this is exactly what their flesh wants to hear and believe. No one really ever wants suffering or persecution to invade their comfortable lives, right? However, my many years of performing investigative journalism nationwide and at times worldwide have uncovered something entirely different. Unfailing Bible prophecy also confirms what I am uncovering. Planned persecution is coming to the Christians in North America. And here is what my research has uncovered. This persecution will be prolonged and intense, and it will seek to seize churches and turn them over to the government for secular purposes, much as in communist Russia. It will seek to arrest and persecute both religious leaders and the rest of the Christians throughout this nation. It will seek to cause Christians to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ, to join their New World Order agenda. I know that some people think this is over. You haven't read Revelation 13 yet. It's not over. And, of course, they're doing great damage to the far-left, criminals but they're also going to seek revenge. Okay. And subsequently martyr them when they refuse to deny Jesus Christ. It will seek, in fact, to behead the Christians who remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Well, let me say that Muslims have been brought in by the deep state to invade Western Christianity, whose book tells them to behead unbelievers. So, I'll read on her revelation here. Or to transport Christians arrested via prisoner boxcars with shackles to awaiting FEMA Homeland Security detention camps scattered nationwide and also in Alaska and Canada, where they're much as in Russia and Eastern Europe under communism. The Christians will be severely persecuted, including torture and interrogation, ridiculed, and finally terminated when finished. There's been some of this termination, by the way, and beheadings. You know, I have the videos somewhere on our site where they were, you know, cleaning out, the leftists were cleaning out some right-wing people in the military. And all quite legally under martial law and the presidential executive orders and other legislation written to prepare the way for the coming American Holocaust of the innocents. You say this couldn't happen? Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think so. That's not biblical. For the serious student of end-time Bible prophecy, none of this should come as a complete surprise. But when Jesus said in Matthew 24 regarding what would be the sign of his coming and the end of this age, he warned his disciples that worldwide persecution against his disciples would come first. He warned that his disciples would be hated of all nations for his namesake. Only under a one-world Antichrist government, the New World Order of Revelation 13, can all nations simultaneously hate the Christians and deliver them up to tribulation and to be put to death. I got to tell you, they're ready to blame all of the problems on the Christians just as they did the Jews. Okay? America must be included in this worldwide persecution of the disciples of Jesus Christ, if Jesus' words are to be taken literally. And that is precisely the dark intentions of the coming New World Order to be imposed on America under martial law. Years of travel and interviews to uncover the plans of the New World Order against the Christians in America have confirmed that the New World Order planners for decades have been conspiring to bring persecution and death to the Christian opponents of the Antichrist world globalists or communists agenda for this nation. One of the most satanically controlled agencies in the world, the CIA, plays a major role in helping this New World Order take over in America someday. My frequent interviews with former CIA officers, many of whom have now become Christians and feel compelled to admit the truth, have uncovered the fact that plans from within the CIA have been made for many years, both to persecute and ultimately terminate the Christians to pave the way for establishing their Antichrist New World Order agenda in America. Well, Father has not forsaken his children, but he needs to be taken seriously. And in times like what we're talking about, that's exactly what happens. And the history of the Gospels and Acts will be repeated. so you can see the future right there on a larger scale. Much of the planning for Christians to be arrested under martial law and taken away to the camps for termination came out of the CIA. Well, my thought was Operation Paperclip imported the Nazis and their demons into our government to repeat history here. And don't think it won't repeat. It has to, because the Bible says so. So, especially under the era of George Bush Sr. being head of the CIA, according to many former CIA employees working under him. But then, the Bush Illuminati satanic bloodline has always been active behind the scenes and working hard for the realization of a new world order. Even as Bible prophecy declares that this tyrannical world dictatorship of Antichrist, Revelation 13, will receive its power directly from the dragon, or Satan slash Lucifer himself. The Illuminati, or the Satanists of this New World Order agenda, now openly admitted as much. One former CIA assassin under Bush Sr. admitted to me while being interviewed, "We Satanists are the backbone, and Lucifer is the head of the New World Order," unquote. And as such, all the Christians have to go, he said, right? We Satanists realize that Christians would never accept our satanically based New World Order. The very camps that you are now investigating, they were saying to her, were designed to be used to terminate the Christians in America under martial law. So, admission of Elaine, former Satanist slash assassin and New World Order planner under Bush Sr. in CIA. That was her statement. My investigative journalism has uncovered the reality of thousands of prisoner boxcars with shackles designed to transport unfortunates arrested under martial law by train transport to the many FEMA slash Homeland Security detention camps designed to deal with all future New World Order resistance. So this is identical to how the world's globalist communists deal with Christian and political resistance to their agenda in Russia. They arrested and sent religious political resistors to the many gulags scattered throughout Russia and the former Soviet Union, transported by train. Hitler also used trains to transport religious and political opponents to the camps under a Nazi dictatorship. Mass prisoner transportation by rail is cost-effective. These sturdy metal prisoner boxcars can be hosed out after each transport and used over and over again. They can last for decades. And don't think they were poofed. You know, they are still there. Prisoners can even be terminated, gassed, etc., and while still chained inside the boxcars. Tragically, history does repeat itself. If the citizens of any nation will sit back passively and allow their leadership to make it happen, again, unchallenged. Well, God is being left out of this here. Actually, this is a persecution that is going to cause true Christianity to grow and remove the tares. And I'm not saying everybody that goes into a boxcar is a tare. I'm not saying that at all, because we know better. But I have personally interviewed, she said, Christians who have experienced visions from God of the coming American Holocaust. One woman attending a prophecy conference I spent time at admitted when I told her about my investigating, she said, quote, "This explains the visions I have been having. I saw Christians arrested for their faith and placed into boxcars and sent to concentration camps to be killed for their faith," unquote. So this woman I interviewed was from Montana. My years of research in Montana have uncovered the reality of many sightings of prisoner boxcars with shackles pre-positioned throughout the state for the hour of arrest under martial law. Reliable eyewitnesses have reported seeing even modern guillotines bolted into each boxcar, in one case, along with the shackles installed as well. My research has uncovered the presence of millions of modern guillotines in America, and I am convinced worldwide, to fulfill a future agenda tied in with the Jewish Noahide laws legislation. They are also tied in with Bible prophecy regarding, quote, "the souls beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and the Word of God," unquote. Revelation 20:4. So we see that it is just ahead, right? Who essentially will not go along with the coming Antichrist New World Order agenda, who will not deny Jesus Christ, and are slain as a result by beheading. "And he shall show you things to come, Holy Spirit, visions of prosecution come to America." Okay? When I first began to receive information from quality sources regarding the presence of modern guillotines in America and lectured on them, I was amazed to hear people coming forward after the lectures to share their guillotine visions. Christians from around the world that I encountered in Jerusalem while lecturing lined up to tell me of their visions of being beheaded for their faith. Brian with Youth with a Mission from the Bahamas, Christina Mitchell from New Zealand, and many more all told me of poignant, detailed visions of the foreign troops involved and the modern guillotines and being beheaded for their faith. One pastor's wife in Long Island, New York, told me with tears of her vision of being beheaded for her faith while in military surroundings. Another youth pastor, Pastor Richards in Bakersfield, California, told me of his graphic vision of martial law being declared in California and the guillotines being brought out and himself being dragged to one of them and was told, "Well, Pastor, what shall it be? Will you deny Jesus and join our New World Order agenda, or will you die?" In his vision, he remained faithful to Jesus and was beheaded. Becky, a powerful Christian witness in the Washington, D.C. area, working at the Department of Agriculture, told me of her many graphic guillotine visions she is convinced God also gave to her. Quote, "I saw how the New World Order was going to use these guillotines to tempt the Christians to deny their faith. I watched as children were snatched away from their parents and taken to the guillotines. Then the parents were then tempted to deny Jesus or the children would be beheaded. And the parents were taken away from the children. And the children were tempted to deny Jesus or their parents would be beheaded." You know, you have to prepare children for the persecution so that it doesn't come on them unawares. This is not a situation that needs to happen. So in my visions, I even saw the guillotine set up on the White House lawn. That could be symbolic, but it doesn't have to be. In fact, the first time I ever became aware of these guillotines was when I was involved in Christian outreach in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in 1976. It was an evident time of revival, and the power of God was moving in many ways, and I was participating in a street outreach to youth then. And while praying with another Christian, God's Holy Spirit interrupted. He spoke prophetically and said, "I am pouring out my Spirit upon my church in America today because without His power, you will not make it with what is coming to your nation." Stunned, I prayed, "Oh God, what is coming to our nation?" And the reply was, "My child, if I were to show you what is coming to your nation, you would not be able to bear what I would say to you or show to you." I was only a young Christian at that time. Still, we prayed that night for God to show us what was coming. And that very night, the person I prayed with had a graphic vision of Christians lined up in front of modern guillotines to be beheaded for their faith. In fact, many Christians were receiving disturbing dreams and visions of things to come at that time period. And I recall attending one prayer meeting in which one Christian stood up to recount how God had shown her Christians being held in concentration camp type surroundings, filthy and unkept, their Bibles having been taken away. She stated how God had shown her that many Christians faced persecution in the future, and therefore to memorize their Bible passages, since evidently their Bibles would be also taken away under this future persecution. Well, you can guarantee that. Yet another stood up to recount how God showed him that famine was coming to this nation on a major scale, and yet how when Christians stood around a table to pray, miraculously their table was filled with food in response during this coming time of famine. Let me say, famine is also a time when people want to decide who gets fed and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. So in this vision, the person was shown that there was no food in the home, no heat or electricity, and a bleak time of depression in America. My years of investigative journalism have uncovered that all of the above are coming by deliberate plan to this nation someday. Revelation 13 makes it clear that these forces of Antichrist, world globalism, will have the power to put the Christians and all other resistors to death under their regime. I can tell you that the golden age that they call it is going to be cut short. That's a fact. And many years of research have confirmed that this is their intent exactly. My question, therefore, to the Christians of America today is, what are you going to do about it? Will you take the time to fast and pray and to allow God to prepare your heart to stand fast in your faith when this all comes down? I can tell you what I believe will precede this, and I believe the man-child ministry to get knowledge out to people of what is coming and what is the truth will then be turned into a test. And that will be the mark of the beast. Revelation 12 is followed by Revelation 13, the test. Okay. Will you purpose to grow in true discipleship across embracing faith so that when the coming winds of adversity blow against the church in America, you will not be swept away in its dark wake? Faith without works is dead, declares God's word. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The Holy Spirit is truly showing His people things to come. He is giving us a sneak preview with a purpose. It is not God's will that any should perish. None of God's elect will perish. The elect, those are the ones who bore fruit at the end, and of course they won't perish. They will have eternal life. That's what we're talking about, perishing, right? And that includes perishing by falling away and denying our faith as well. We as Christians are called to be faithful unto death. True discipleship understands that we may be called upon to suffer for our faith. Well, we see the example in the book of Acts, right? So, I mean, the disciples were put to death by the harlot and the beast in those days. And the Lord told me that that was a foreshadowing of the end time. So, to lose everything for our faith and ultimately to die for our faith and confession of Jesus Christ as well. And we are never permitted to deny Jesus before men, not even to save our lives or the lives of those that we love. Jesus declared that whoever would deny Him before men, the same will be denied before the Father in heaven. If any man would come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever seeks to save his life, the same shall lose it. And whosoever shall seek to lose his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel, the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. Tragically, few pastors are truly preaching a cross-embracing discipleship Christianity in America today, and it's not popular to human flesh. Carnal Christianity is preaching a false prosperity message, equating the faith with money, material possessions, and easy street Christianity of the flesh. And few pastors in America are preparing God's people to realistically face the coming persecution. I personally believe that the wrath of God is upon those pastors who know all that I have warned about and yet refuse, for carnal reasons, to warn God's people. And I'm convinced that the end result of this shall be that many shall fall away and deny Him, even as Jesus warned His disciples in Matthew 24. If God's people are not being prepared and built up in their faith and biblical discipleship principles to withstand the coming times of testing, how then shall they be prepared? How then shall they stand? How much of what they are hearing are false prophecies uttered by false shepherds of good things to come, quote unquote, as in the case with many churches? Will they not be devastated when reality hits them unexpectedly someday? The obvious answer is yes. And such Christians, unprepared also, have the potential to fall away out of fear and threat of persecution. They were not prepared. And this is why I have labored for years now to forewarn my endangered fellow Christians and Americans. The greatest tragedy is for a soul to be lost. Christians who lose faith under persecution and are moved to deny Jesus Christ will, in fact, lose their salvation. Some people don't believe that, and that's a sad thing because it's history. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Yeah. And the Bible makes this very clear. Both the clear words of Jesus Christ and those of his apostles confirm the fact that we are required to remain faithful unto death. We cannot deny him for any reason. Yes, and this will cleanse Christianity of the lukewarm, hidden tares and their subtle leaven, because they won't hold up. Okay. We'll find out when Christianity is illegal how many true Christians there are. And I am therefore determined that no man's blood will be on my hands, and am telling America the truth. I will do everything I can to forewarn God's people in this nation of what is to come against Christians in this final hour of America's destiny. I know you're hearing the very opposite of all this in the golden age, but it's not a golden age, I've said. It's a golden moment. I will do the job that many pastors refuse to do from their pulpits, and that is to forewarn and prepare God's people for the biblically prophesied coming persecution. This is, in fact, what a faithful watchman on the wall is required by God to do, and I have done this now faithfully for 13 years at that time of this writing here. So please, won't you receive a word of warning from the Word of God and His Holy Spirit? Will you not take the time to prepare your heart from God's Word, prayer, and fasting, so that having done all, you may then stand triumphantly in Jesus Christ to face the coming times in victory? Yes. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And they overcame him, Satan that is, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and because they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11. The call to faithfulness unto death is clear. I therefore testify that you, eternal soul and eternal destiny, are at stake. And where shall you spend eternity someday? Well, the fear is what hurts the most, right? The beheading is painless. It's a gift to those who serve the Lord of rest from tribulation and to enter into his presence. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Yeah, it's all the horrible thoughts you have leading up to that, the line that you're standing in that leads to the, you know, so on and so forth. 56 goes on, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So the best thing you can do to prepare is repent. Repent. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard the voice from heaven saying, Right blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. You hear that? Blessed, blessed. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. Amen. And here's another revelation. We called it Fearful of Beheading? Question mark. And this was Deborah Horton in 2010. She said, For those who are fearful of being beheaded, I'd like to share this testimony. When I was a child, I was hit by a fire engine and killed. My first thought was, Why do they say it's dark? It's not dark. I was in a soft white light. My next thought was, Why do they say it hurts? It doesn't hurt. And praise the Lord, it truly doesn't hurt. And when the fire engine hit me, I was thrown out of my body so quickly that the nerve impulses of pain, which started across the synapses towards the next nerve, didn't complete the jump before I was gone. Well, you know, it's the same way with, beheading. It's so instant that you don't have a lot of pain. You don't feel it. It's gone. It is truly a humanitarian method of taking people out. I felt myself rising up and towards my right. I was moving more and more quickly through what felt like onion layer after onion layer of tissue, with the light becoming progressively brighter, and I knew that I was going home. Then suddenly I was a fish caught on a line being pulled back into my body as the medics worked to revive me, but I didn't want to come back. However, as you can see from this testimony, I did come back, because the Lord had other plans. Yes, indeed. He wanted her testimony to get out. It's not to be feared. Death is not to be feared, right? And this one we call Judas's Persecute the Innocent. This was given to Brent Gearhart and R.M. and David put notes in this. So, let me say that this is not a revelation that reflects badly on Brent. He is merely being used to act out the work of Judas, persecuting the true brethren in the coming tribulation. So Brent went on to say, When I went to bed, I heard people in visions or dreams cursing and swearing. Well, the time when Peter cursed and betrayed Jesus came to mind. Women were trying to greet me, but I would greet them in the name of Jesus. Well, the women, I believe, represent false sects of Christianity. Greeting them in Jesus' name means representing him to them. I remember falling asleep during all of this. And I saw a man arrested for nothing, really, and he was beaten really badly. And, of course, this is persecution of the innocents. A voice said, Take that stick and hit him with it. So I took something and hit him in the face and the eye with it. Then I started running away from this place. Well, we can't be tempted to take part in this because of fear, right? Because they will try to get people to do what they think is blaspheme, you know? That's just history. Then I was in a place in a forest where I was hiding, and I met a woman who was acting like a friend to the people in the woods. That's the persecuted, right? And trying to get me to go submit myself to the cities. Meaning submit to the cities, quote-unquote, of churches in Babylon, the sects, the denominations, the ministries, and the organizations of the harlot. She said that no soul can live after the 14th of the month. That's interesting. Here's some major clues, right? Exodus 12 and 5. Your land shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The 14th. That was a Passover, right? And our Passover lamb was sacrificed then. So 12 and 18 says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. Leviticus 23 and 5 says, in the 14th day of the month at even is the Lord's Passover. And there was also a Passover in the book of Esther, although it wasn't called that, but it was. And you'll notice that the woman or false sects of Christianity threatened death to the remnant of spiritual Israel on the 13th. And after the 14th, the harlot was to have killed the remnant in a repeat of history in the book of Esther, chapter 9. Instead, they were spared as in a spiritual Passover because of the Lamb of God, right? Back to her revelation, she said, if you were caught in the woods, you would automatically be put to death and your soul wouldn't be able to live. I saw myself in the shadows of the woods trying to follow the cars. This particular car was a Mustang, which I was trying to stay hidden from in a ditch and trying to stay out of its sight. Well, many will dwell in the shadow of those who are trees and pillars in God's temple. They will listen to the truth, but when persecution comes, they will flee. And the Mustang has an untamed, unsubmitted nature that is not saddled and is wild. Matthew 13 and 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endured for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. How come persecution arises because of the word? Because after you get the word and the knowledge, you're going to be tested. Okay. Because we don't want anybody creeping into the kingdom who is not a real saint, right? I saw a man running into the woods, and I think he was white. He appeared naked and hiding. Well, the righteous running from persecution, but needing to be dressed up with Christ. This is what we need to do before these things happen, right? Mark 14 and 51 says, and there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked, meaning refusing his cross, right? So then I saw myself with this naked woman who we were up on a perch, and she said that she wanted her naked body to be pleasing to me. Well, you know, the Revelation 18, a Proverbs 7, harlot that offers deceptive seduction through church membership and all the other advantages, right? She wants the righteous to be satisfied and lured by the sinful life. And Matthew 7 and 17 says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You'll know them, right? By their fruit. She said to go take her rocker, which was a moped scooter, and submit to the city. Obviously, people will be, you know, fleeing the cities where there is so much law, and in this case, perverted law, right? And so, take her weak and slow ways and obey the city of Babylon, the government and the Babylonish apostate religion, the churches of Babylon that will ride the beast and refuse their cross, right? But as you know, the beast gets tired of that and burns the harlot with fire. I remember doing it, I think, right after. I remember seeing the woods being chopped down in large sections, revealing multiple people in the woods. Well, they did this in Vietnam. They sprayed Agent Orange to kill all the foliage so that you could see, right? She said farmers' markets are cheap, quote unquote. So God's people betrayed for reward. The husbandmen, quote unquote, that sell God's people for their own gain and will betray them to the beast, as Judas did to the body of Christ. That's a type and a shadow there. Here's Brent's notes. This was truly the false church or religion talking to me, enticing me to turn in my fellow brethren. Matthew 10 and 21 says, and the brothers shall deliver up the brother to death. And as I submitted to the cities, the others in the wilderness got caught. After much thought on this, I concluded that I was fearful of being captured as a Christian when the voice told me to take up the stick and hit the person who was a Christian. And once I did that, because of my fear of my own cross, and I then became a member of the beast kingdom or false religion. Well, I thought Luke 12 and 45, it says, but, and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, so on and so forth. You know the answer, right? So after thinking on these thoughts, I asked God to give me a random scripture on what to think about this first dream. Twice I came to the exact same scripture. I repeat, twice I got 1 John 3:11-12. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. I was lying there trying to sleep, but actually just having my eyes closed, and I saw my ex-wife, who is pregnant and almost due, being chased by a tall, skinny, black man. Well, I believe this represents her pastor who walks in darkness and is spiritually underfed, but is over them. Clergy over laity, a Nicolaitan error, right? He wanted to hurt her baby. Well, we know that the dragon of Revelation 12 is ready to devour the man-child Jesus, who is about to come forth from his people. In other words, be manifested outwardly to from his people, right? We seem to be in a shopping center, but there were no store officials. Well, in the Nicolaitan church world, where the gospel is bought and sold, there is no true ministry of overseers. Even the people who come out of Bible school are babies, because him that overcometh will I give authority. So you can't get authority going to a Bible school for 2 or 3 years and come out with a certificate. That's crazy. So after I saw this, I heard a very audible voice say, "Where are the store officials or security?" There were none. No elders or true ministry abiding in the word. Someone offered to sell me something for just $10.99, but I said, no thanks. Well, a temptation right before 2011, a sign of a falling away of the factious Judases as a short-term offer from those who buy and sell in the church marketplace. I felt something pulling me from behind. And I believe this was talking about the religious past, right? And felt the Spirit of God in the front. I kept pressing forward towards God. In other words, pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ as you overcome the lure of the Nicolaitan church, and so on and forth. I remember seeing my boss, Bobby, at work, and seeing a woman who was part animal. I believe this is talking about a leader of false faith leading an apostate church that manifests the beast nature. She wanted me to come to her, but I didn't want to go. The temptation from the harlot seducing God's people with false peace and safety. And I knew that was a demon, and I heard my boss, Bobby, say, "Submit to her." And in parenthesis, Bobby is a double-minded person who represents indecision regarding the world, fellowship, and money. I said I would pray to have his eyes opened. Bobby is spiritually blind and does not listen to the prophetic scriptures. A man holding a child came up to me and asked me to pray for his child, and I briefly did. Well, I think we're talking about praying for the growth and preservation of the man-child among us, or the man-child who is being birthed in us, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then a little girl came up to me crying with a note. The little girl, I believe, represents the young woman bride espoused to Christ in persecution. It read something like this: "Please pray for us in Oklahoma. We are having bad storms there," quote unquote. Persecutions and troubles for the remnant in the U.S., in Oklahoma, and according to states symbolusa.org, Oklahoma means people red, R-E-D. And another site renders it red person, quote unquote. Thus, we have storms of trouble for the remnant in the midst of the U.S. by the red people. The red person represents those who walk as Esau, who was red, and sold his birthright, and persecuted his brother Israel as a type of the church. Yep, we know that the Edomites, the red people, will persecute the church. We've had dreams about that too. And we've experienced it some. I had a lot of activity last night in my spirit, and I think I was led astray in the first dream. Well, let me say, this is a picture of a temptation to join back up with the apostate Judases that many will be offered in exchange for false safety. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 10, "All then shall many be offended, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." So many here, I believe, means the majority. It is amazing to think that the majority of what we call Christianity will turn against other Christians because they are following in the steps of Scripture as they come out from among them. When Jesus said, "Brother shall betray brother," it referred to the brotherly persecution of professed Christendom. It's always been this way. The biggest threat to God's people in times of turmoil and trouble hasn't been the beast. The biggest threat has been the harlot. Right? So the Lord was showing Brent an image of temptation for those who go underground as the Christians flee to escape the beast martial law and persecution. And historically, the mountains and forests were places of refuge in troubled times. But as Judas left the persecutors and the government, law enforcement agents to find Jesus in his day of trial, so will the Judases in our day do likewise. So Brent said this, "Afterwards the Lord gave me this utterance," quote, "Be available for work. The man-child is coming. I want you to write this down. I need teachers. I need visionaries. I need more Daniels. I need more Jobs. Are you able? Are you willing? Do you want to sacrifice your life for the sake of the body? Are you willing to die daily for me? Do you love me? So, do you keep my commandments? I love you, Brent. I love your wife, Jessica. I love your son, Joshua, and I'm going to help them. I need people to suffer for the kingdom. Remember the sermon Jeff Timmerman preached." Jeff Timmerman is a UPC preacher. This message God is speaking about was a very good message, as he spoke of God calling some to suffer for the sake of the kingdom. It is true, some have been called to suffer, some to shame, and some to reproach. I want you to know I will always be there with you. I suffer shame. I suffered beatings. I died on a cross for you and others. I love you. I will always love you. Are you able? Will you pay the price? I will always be with you in times of suffering and reproach. Be not afraid. I will deliver thee out of their hands. I will bring you to a place of refuge. Do not deny your cross. Walk in it daily. After receiving this prophecy, I read in my Zondervan Bible Dictionary about crucifixion, and the following is a short quote from that. Quote, Nero crucified many Christians, blaming them for the burning of the imperial city, unquote. This is what they do. Historically, this is what they do. They do tremendously evil things, and then they blame it on God's people. Whether it was like the Jews or whether it's the New Testament Christians. So then, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 popped into my head. That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Yes, read the book of Acts. And we call this persecution from brethren. Sean Lynch. I had a dream that my fraternity brothers were persecuting me. He said a fraternity is a Babylonish organization. When I was in college, I was in a fraternity that was founded upon Christian principles, but as with the church, that has fallen away to Babylon's lusts. So has this fraternity. These represent apostate Christians who persecute their brothers and sisters during the tribulation. Well, they will be taken down in the great and terrible day of the Lord, the Bible says. So Matthew 24 and 10, and then many shall stumble and shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. And Luke 21 and 16, but you shall be delivered up even by parents and brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Yes. Well, one thing, this kind of persecution, it does separate the wheat from the tares. So during this trial, I saw many on each side of me who were persecuting me. Acts 4, 25 through 28. Who by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why do the Gentiles rage, and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. You know when you get anointed? It's when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For of a truth, in this city, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. Notice, God foreordained this cross, and he will do it with many Christians too, especially those who have not denied themselves to the death of self. That's the only way to really escape the physical thing. So I knew in the spirit that this was a crucifixion that I had to endure, as Jesus knew in the Spirit that his hour had come. So will the people of God know when their cross is upon them. Amen. And I felt an overwhelming grace rise up within me to resist the temptations to come down off the cross. The anointing of the latter rain will empower us to endure our trials. I then heard a brother from the fraternity tell me He felt sorry for me, and then I felt him embrace me, and I him. And as it was in the days of Jesus, when our Lord was dying on the cross, there will be brothers who will see Jesus in us by our sacrifice and will embrace their own cross to the death. So here's a note from Rex. He said, as I read this, I felt in my spirit that this is just as Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, which was a brotherly greeting, even admonished by Paul to greet the brethren with a holy kiss. And remember, it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. May this further add to your understanding. Amen. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Luke 23:42-43. And he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. So we call this one Exhortations from the Father, Glenn Jackson. And this is a prophecy. So this is the aforementioned time of a series of final judgments, quote unquote, a series of final judgments that will expose the true condition of one's heart as I send my vessels of my consuming fire throughout the congregations of my people. Up until now, the vast majority of my children have come to accept a mediocre Christian life, quote unquote. At a time when the deepest desire of my heart is to reveal myself in my absoluteness in every aspect of my children's lives, many are content with a continued mixture of my word and the world. But truly I say to you, this shall end abruptly, and all those who continue to dishonor my word shall be cut off, and they shall move further and further out into darkness. They pridefully proclaim that they are still in the way, quote unquote, but truly I say to you, their way is not of me. And thus they shall allow themselves to be used as vessels of persecution against their very own brothers and sisters who are walking in the faith and the obedience that pleases me so. And though they are family, there shall result a clear separation between those of my children who love or obey me and those who do not. And it is certain that all those who seek me shall know which group of my children is truly of me and which group is not. And so shall each man be presented with a clear option, a choice to make, right? On the one hand, my spotless and unblemished church, an ever-expanding vessel of my glory and light and truth, and on the other hand, the dead and lifeless form of religion that acknowledges me with their lips, but whose heart are far from the place that they should be, considering their relationship with me. But even in their folly, I shall not forget them, and I shall send forth my holy apostles and prophets, and they shall devastate the strongholds of the doctrines and traditions which have been a product of the mental ascension of those ones who have not drawn near to me. In other words, you can accept Jesus as your personal Savior, all which is not in the Bible, by the way, but you're not accepting him day by day, right? He called it mental assent. There is a lot of mental assenters out there. Just accept Jesus. Okay, they do. But then they don't accept him the next day when they're tested and tried, and it proves them to be fruitless. So a mental assent made continually stronger by their fellowship with the world and its ways, a fellowship which gives Satan a continual inroad into their lives. Fear not, all those of you who are concerned for those caught in this position, for truly I say unto you, whatever happens in the midst of my people from here on shall be for the greatest eternal benefit of all, both individually and corporately. Okay, this is a warning. Here is what I heard about making America great again. And this was given to Elizabeth Marie. On 7:20 and 24, I heard the Lord speak to me just before going to bed. I heard, "Can America be made great again?" The answer is that not one person nor any political solution or policies will ever bring America back from the precipice that she is now on. There is now, and always has been, only one solution. 2 Chronicles 7:13-15. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. So this solution of repentance is the one thing that will turn a country around. However, even the church in this late hour is looking for a physical solution for a spiritual problem. Not only will this not work, but this will compound the already grave problem that is upon the land. You know, just fleeing to the woods is not enough. You have to be fed there. You have to repent there, or they will catch you, and so on and so forth. You know, there is one solution. The majority of the church has gone down to Egypt, representing the world, for their help, instead of heeding the call from the Lord to humble themselves, pray, repent, and seek his face again. And this alone is the only solution. People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. This is why he brought all this disaster on them. 2 Chronicles 7:22. A sign. On 7/21/24, a couple of us were seeking the Lord on behalf of the church, sensing once again a great deception that is lurking. It grieved us as we don't want to see our brothers and sisters being misled down a dangerous path. We saw a trap that was being set, both physically and in the spirit realm as well. We saw a spirit of Babylon that had come upon the church to blind, misguide, and deceive many. It is a spirit that has infested many, many churches as the leaders lead their flock into the clutches of the enemy. And while we were crying out to God, the Lord sent out a sign from a peaceful night sky. There came three loud thunderbolts that shook my house. At a time, it shook us to the core, and we knew that the Lord had heard our cries and had responded. It was a very clear sign that He is displeased with His church at this hour, and He sees the web of deception that is now surrounding her. I believe that the message is clear. The church is in error and needs to repent. Instead of fixing America, it's time to fix the church first, right? Yes, because the church needs to influence America. For America cannot be fixed without the blessings of God to come upon it. And the blessings of God cannot come without true repentance. And that comes only through a humble and contrite heart. All other remedies will and are failing. The church has forgotten that the true war is in the spiritual realm, not in this physical kingdom called America. And the battle is in the spirit. Oh, how the Christian leaders and shepherds have missed the mark as secular America chooses to worship at the feet of Baal. And the Christians choose to seek solutions from others instead of at the feet of the Almighty God. History is now repeating. However, the consequences will be far worse. This is why I am in despair and anguishing for my deceived brothers and sisters, for the impact that is coming will be deadly, and many will lose their faith in the Lord. For, make no mistake about it, persecution is coming, and many will fall away. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. America has not learned her lesson, therefore the judgments will fall now and even greater. So here was the message that we got after the thunderbolts. Have you forgotten from where you were hewn? Have you strayed so far from me that I'm no longer the answer? Do you trust in man so much? Have I not said to trust in no man, but to trust in me? Once again, my people have fallen into the snare, the trap that has been set by my adversary. They have looked for a political solution to solve a spiritual problem. And once again, their endeavors and desires will be dashed upon the rock and broken up into many pieces. The damage that was once done will now become even greater, all because there was no cry among the people for repentance and a humbling of themselves before me. In your pride and arrogance, I will shower my discipline upon you. For my people are a stiff-necked, stubborn, and commit adultery in the spirit. Many are now joining forces with the Church of Babylon, which aligns them with with the universal religion that states that all paths lead to God. For my people, this is prostituting, as there is only one way to God through my sacrifice on the cross. Mystery Babylon once held a golden cup in her hand of blessings, but now they share that once full cup with those who do not believe in my name alone. Babylon, O Babylon, you will fall, and many in my church will fall with you. You have deceived the masses, and I see all your ways. I see your tentacle arms reaching deep inside my church, pulling out those who are weak in the faith and spiritually blinded. However, I will raise up many that will come out of Babylon, and they will proclaim my truth and give clarity to my true ways. Soon there will be voices rising up that are even greater than Babylon. These will be my watchmen, my prophets, and my servants, who will drown out all the voices of Mystery Babylon. Woe to all the false prophets! Woe to the false teachers that proclaim a thing that is not from me! Repent, or you will be stripped of your mantle. The manifesting of the sons of God will commence as I put my true anointing and mantle upon them to preach for such a time as this. In my church, all that is not for me will now burn with double fire. The impurities will be removed, and my chosen ones will then shine like the noonday sun. I waited, and then I heard this. Do not follow, man, repent for not making me your sufficiency. Humble yourself. Pray. Okay, here's a word we called a stronger America, Glenda Lomax. Oh, my children, enjoy the peace around you, for soon it leaves. Persecution shall arise to a mighty pitch in this time, as leaders are removed and replaced with the enemy's people. Persecution will be encouraged, and the goal will be to remove all of you for a stronger America, quote unquote. In this time, martyrdom will become a common thing, and you must prepare your hearts for this. Do this now. Know that I am with you every step of the way. Know that I will strengthen you for the task at hand. Simply continue to walk as you are, staying close to me and leaning heavily into my word. Follow in my ways, and all will be well. Matthew 10 and 28 says, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Acts 22 and 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Revelation 2 and 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 6 and 19. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And while robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Matthew 24:9-14. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And this next one we call Prepare for Persecution, Elizabeth. A heavy blanket of sorrow came over me, and I knew that it was the Lord wanting me to seek him about why. I then received one of the most sobering messages I've ever received, so much so that I will only share portions of it for now. After receiving it, I asked the Lord why I was so sorrowful. It felt like someone had died, and immediately I heard in my spirit that I was feeling the sorrow of the Father, who was grieving for the loss of so many of his children to the enemy. Well, you might think that would be those that were killed, but no, it's most of the time those that are afraid of death and not wanting to go to death and die spiritually. Whoa, I was overwhelmed when I heard this. That really hit home for me as a parent, the grief and sorrow that a parent must feel when they have either lost a child to death or through rejection or abandonment is overwhelming, or just being lost, you know, I would say. I then received the message below, which is about the persecutions that are coming to those who walk in truth and righteousness. Well, remember this condition as we go on, those who walk in truth and righteousness. It is coming fast and swiftly. As Christians, we are called to suffer, as Jesus suffered. However, in the Western world, we have seen very little of this. As things change and captivity comes to America for many, we must always remember that Jesus comes to set us free. Galatians 5 and 1. This is not only a physical freedom that comes, but a freedom of our souls from the clutches of Satan and sin. Let us also always remember that there is no one or thing that can come between us and the Lord Jesus. Again, he's talking about the faithful, right? Though the enemy might try to get us to turn away, We will never give in or give up following our Lord. Jesus is our hearts both now and forever. He's in our hearts now and forever. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8:35-37. So here's the first message. Here are a few excerpts from the message that I received. The floodgate has been opened for persecution. The shepherds have gone astray. They have led the people astray. No one will stand up for righteousness. Therefore, judgment comes. This is the final rodeo, the final match, the final kahuna, our final thing, right? No more chances to get it right. The world has used up all of its chances. None are left. Judgment, persecution, and then final redemption or damnation comes. Very souls hang in the balance. With little time left, pray for these souls, for there will be a few that will return to me. There is only one hope left in the world, and that is my salvation. Grab a hold of it and do not let it go. There is a light shining in the darkness, a light set upon a hill that no one can extinguish. In the spirit, I saw a huge mountain, which I had a knowing that it was the mountain of God. It is the eternal light of God. Through many are now attempting to extinguish the light, they cannot, for it is beyond their reach and beyond their control. And when this light shines upon the wicked and unsaved, they will shriek in pain because their deeds of evil will have been exposed. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. That's John 3:19-21. And a second message was received from these revelations. On March 22, 2023, I received this message while praying. Before I heard the message, I saw in the spirit something horrifying. First, I saw someone hanging on a rope from a tree. Then the scene changed, and I saw a street that was lined with people hanging from ropes on both sides of the road. I was then reminded of a dream I had received years ago about driving on a road and going under an overpass. Hanging from the overpass were a few people who had just been hanged. There was a girl in the back seat of our car who was supposed to be my daughter, who jumped out of the car and with supernatural strength climbed up the overpass, cut the rope around each person's neck, and helped them escape. I believe this dream prophetically refers to the supernatural acts that we will be seeing during the time of persecutions that are coming on the Christians. This also goes along with a word that I received in 2018 called Persecution Brings the Latter Rain. And we know the latter rain is coming. Jesus is coming as the latter rain. People are expecting him in some other form, but that's how he says he's going to come. Okay, the message received here is that the persecutions are coming, and for many, and they are already here. From the four corners of the earth rises up the beast who rages against my own. There will be nowhere to hide except under the shadow of my wings. For many, they will rise up like eagles. On eagles' wings they shall find a place of safety where the serpent will not be able to go. Revelation 12 and 14. This is coming, and it's coming quickly. Get yourself in a position with me so you can hear my instructions. Listen for my voice. It is the still, small voice, 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, that comes. Train yourself to hear it. Seek it, for it will help and guide you. It is the voice of the Holy Spirit, which I give to my people, to those who have been born again into my kingdom through faith. John chapter 3. These persecutions are a testing for my church. They are the fire that removes the dross. Many will succumb because they love their lives more than me. They will surrender to the beast and will receive his mark. Many already have, as we have shared before too. These persecutions will be like nothing that has been before. But for my elect's sake, I will cut the days short. Matthew 24, 21 and 22. Don't underestimate the power of the beast, for he comes with brute force against many. It will be like no other time in history as he is unleashed for a time. He is the ancient serpent of the garden that deceives unto death. He will swallow up as many as he can, for his appetite has no limits. His greatest foes are those who are mine, those who confess me as Lord of Lords. He has infiltrated the churches from the inside out, and now, through deception, leads many astray. There is no more time for playing around, but instead to see how grave the times are. No longer keep your head in the sand and do not with the reality that you are now in. Instead, take the time to prepare with provisions. Spend more time listening to my voice and hearing my guidance. Hide the word in your heart every day through reading and memorizing, for this will be your strength. The days are only going to get darker, but my light will shine forth. Stay in that light, for it is the path that leads to my kingdom. Dwell on whatsoever is good, true, lovely, and pure, not on the darkness that surrounds you. Choose me, Choose life. Choose righteousness. Choose justice. Be ready for what is coming. Be prepared physically, spiritually, and mentally so you will not be caught unaware and unprepared. Ask me how, and I will show you. Many are already in position and in place. Stand firm. James 5 and 8. Matthew 10 and 28. Most importantly, know who you believe in and stand. Fear not death of the body, but that of the soul. Matthew 10 and 28. Buckle up. Things are going to get very bumpy soon. Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. 2 John 15:20 and 21. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:12 through 15. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Romans 8 and 12. I received a message about the extreme persecution that is coming, which is below, and along with a rhema word and two dreams. Here's the word I received. Burning oil. I heard, I have been boiled in the fires and oils of affliction, quote unquote. Interpretation. I had to do some research to understand exactly what this phrase meant. Though I knew it was about persecution, what I found was something wonderful amidst what is coming. According to extra-biblical sources, it is documented that the Apostle John was boiled in oil at the hand of Nero. However, he emerged unharmed. It is recorded that there was a crowd watching as John was put into a vat of burning oil. However, instead of his flesh burning and the crowd watching him die, a miracle took place. John preached to the crowd about Jesus Christ while he was in the oil. He was not burned at all, and as a result, many people came to become Christians that day from witnessing this miracle. Well, I believe this is the one that's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. A good book to read. How wonderful that the Lord was showing me that during the persecution, he will perform many miracles among his people, and this will be a great witness to all and will help bring in the end time harvest. And this one we call persecution will bring in salvation. This is a dream vision. In this dream vision, I saw a piece of paper that had rows of people drawn on it. Each line had about 7 to 10 people in it. I had knowing that each person represented a different occupation, like farmers, teachers, engineers, etc. The one right in the middle, which I saw clearly, was a medical doctor or nurse wearing a stethoscope. The horrifying thing about these rows of people was that they were headless. Their heads were not drawn on the paper, just their bodies. The people were headless. I knew upon awakening that this was a warning of the persecution that is coming to all members of society who proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And the Bible says that in the last days, those who do not get the mark of the beast will be beheaded. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20:4. Here's a dream. Never been seen before, it was called. In this dream, I was outside working in a garden with other people. I suddenly noticed these strange-looking animals that were flying. They were not birds, though they had wings and long beak-type noses. They were silvery gray in color and were about as big as hummingbirds. They definitely were not of this world and almost resembled a pterodactyl dinosaur. I started swatting at them, fearful that one would land on me. And it did. I then felt it bite my arm, and I saw my flesh ripped open. I then struck it hard, and it fell to the ground dead. I called those around me to show them this strange creature that was now lying at my feet and how it had bitten me. And that was the end of the dream. Interpretation. I believe what I saw was a small flying dinosaur similar to a pterodactyl, but not exactly. And I believe that the Lord was trying to show me that things are coming that we have never seen before, which is the message below. Whether this creature was from the pits of hell or man-made, I do not know. Well, they do make drones as birds, and even smaller. And, of course, they're made to kill people. So in the upcoming last days, we are going to see things that our eyes have never seen, and even things that we never thought possible. We must not fear, though, because we know that the Lord is greater and stronger than anything that the enemy can bring. There is power in the name of Jesus and through his blood. As Christians, we must proclaim and declare this boldly, no matter what comes our way. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Message received while praying, October 2020. Hold on to me tightly. Do not look to the right or left, but straight ahead at me. Keep your eyes focused at all times on me. Hold every thought captive to me, and do not wander. You're going to see things you have never seen before. Wickedness at a new level. Do not let your hearts fear, but be rooted in me. I come now to warn my people of the great dangers that lurk behind the corners. An assignment has come to take many out, those who are called by my name. It will be a slaughter that is accepted by many. It will begin slowly and then pick up speed like a snowball that starts small on the top of a mountain and then becomes like an avalanche. During this time, many will fall away, but many will also come into my fold. For some, the pressure will be too great, and they will slip away from me, though I try to hold them closely. They will try to let go of my hand and thus fall away. Their foundations were shaky, and their roots were shallow. Those who have been tested already by the fires and still remain in me will be found secure during this intense persecution. They shall rise up and proclaim my name till their last dying breath. I will reserve for myself a group of remnant that will escape what is coming, and I always keep for myself a remnant. This message needs to go out because I don't want my people to be caught unaware of what is coming. They already sense the handwriting is on the wall. Their eyes have been opened to the truth, and they are not deceived. Though your time here on earth is shortened, your destiny with me is eternal. Let go of the things of this world and open up yourself completely to me now. I will cherish those who do so. You must be diligent, you must be diligent, you must be diligent. Have I not called you for such a time as this? Do not let me down. Well, Father, we ask you, please work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, because this salvation is by grace and not by works, not even trying to make ourselves diligent, right? Do not fear, because I come soon, your Savior and friend, Jesus. I waited and asked the Lord, Jesus, if there was more, and I heard, stay true to me, and I will stay true to you. A bloodbath is coming. Help others during this time. Save many out of the pits of fire. Walk softly amidst the mines that have been set all around you. Dear brothers and sisters, let's be diligent in our relationship and our walk with the Lord. Let's be diligent in serving Him, and let's be diligent in bringing others into a closer walk with Him. And I would add, let's be diligent in our intercessory prayers for His elect to spend time seeking the Lord, right? Well, amen. We thank you so much, Lord, for this warning. I pray that people will take it and from here on out be diligent disciples of Jesus Christ. Study the Master. He will show you how to walk this walk. He will show you how to walk through persecution. In Jesus' name, God bless you, saints. Bye-bye.